Yesterday at St. Mary's, I took our senior class on their senior retreat down to Emmons County. We went and visited the beautiful churches in Strasbourg and Hague. We also, one of the highlights of the day was we went to the Carmelite Monastery north of Hague, where five Carmelite nuns, cloistered Carmelite nuns, have been living for just about 2 years now. We brought the kids in to visit with the nuns behind the grill, 10 at a time, because that's all the bigger the room was. So we packed 10 kids in. The nuns would then kind of tell them about their life for about 5 minutes. Then the kids had about 5 minutes to ask them questions. And as the kids would walk out of the room, and I was standing there, their eyes were about that big. Because it's very, very hard for a young person, let alone, I'd say any of us, to try to comprehend the fact that these five ladies would give their entire lives to live in an old farmstead in the middle of a pasture in Emmons County. They have no contact with the outside world. They never leave. That's it. They're there. And the question we always want to ask is, what do they do? Like, do they bake bread? Do they make candles? Do they have cows? What do they do? Because we're Americans, we want to know, what do they do? Sounds like a waste of a life to me. And what they do is simple. They pray. That's their life. They pray for you and for me and for the priests of the diocese and the families of the diocese and the bishop and their schools and everything. They pray for us. That's it. They pray. That's what they do. And they pray for our salvation. Now, what's interesting, though, if I were to tell you that our life is very similar to Carmelite nuns, you'd say, Father, you're crazy. But in some ways, our life is supposed to be like a Carmelite nun's. What do we mean by that? What's their main purpose in life? To grow in friendship with Jesus. To have a life-giving relationship with Him. Something that fuels everything they say and everything they do. That is no different than your life and mine. To have a life-giving friendship with Christ. And how does that happen? It happens primarily through prayer. We hear in the gospel day from Jesus a little bit about prayer and a little advice he has for us. We know that there's lots of ways to pray, right? What do we do when we sit down to pray? We can ask for forgiveness. We can say, Lord, I'm sorry for offending you. I'm sorry for hurting others. I ask for forgiveness. We can simply adore him for being God and worship him. We can thank him for all of his blessings to us, for the gift of health, for the gift of our family, for the gift of a friendship with him. But we also know we can pray for people. But I think oftentimes, growing in our friendship with Christ, a big obstacle is we pray for things, but nothing happens. We pray for things to change, and things don't change. We pray for an end to world violence in the world, and we still have violence. We pray that somebody gets rid of cancer, and they still have cancer. So is Jesus a liar when he's saying, ask and shall receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you? And the answer is no. But I think sometimes we need to readjust what we're asking for. We know that even though sometimes we pray for other people, they still have free will. They still have their decisions to make. We can't change that. But the things the Lord is asking us to have tremendous confidence in prayer about are those things here. So when we experience anxiety, to say, Lord, relieve my anxiety. When we want a friendship healed, Lord, help heal this friendship. And I don't think there's ever been a time in my life where I've asked God to do something in my heart and he's not done it. That doesn't mean to say that there's been struggle. That doesn't mean to say that I've had to be patient, but every single time the Lord provides. And I think if we're really honest about the most important things we've asked for him, from him, he does it. In his own time, in his own way. And so let's ask the Lord today, what, Lord, do you need to do in my heart? And let's trust that when he does say we need to ask and seek and knock, that he does respond. He does provide in his time, and he can do nothing else but provide for us. We are his children, he is our father, and he will provide for us. Let's simply trust him.